So let's do a little chazor here. First of all, on the top of the Omud, we had a discussion based on a brisa about shnios la'rayos. The Gemara thought in the Hava Avinu that the word shnios la'rayos in this context, in which the brisa paskins that in a case of onus or mafata of shnios la'rayos, a great-great-granddaughter or something like that, there's no knas. And we're talking about shnios la'rayos as midibrei sofrim. That's your classic interpretation of the phrase shnios la'rayos. So the Gemara asks, how could that be? Kevon, it's on the top of the omen, kevon dimidaraisa chazilei, amai einlem knas. Let's go back to the Doraisa halacha. We have two shitos in the Tanoim about how to learn Velosia Leisha. We have Rab Shimon ben Menasya and we have Shimon HaTimoni. That goes all the way back to Daf Chavtes Omid Beis. According to Shimon HaTimoni, we're talking about Lesbe Havaya. Whereas according to Rav Shimon ben Menasi, we're talking about Eina Ru'uya L'Kaimu. So the Nafkamina between the two Shitas is going to be a case where, although he's not allowed to have a marriage relationship with her, but nevertheless, the Torah would validate, would recognize such a marriage relationship. So let's take the Shita, for example, of Shimon HaTeimoni. Certainly, in the case of shnios la'rayos, there would be tfisas kiddushin. The rabbanon are not going to be mafkir the kiddushin in a case where he marries a shnios la'rayos if it's only an isumi divrei sofrim. And the truth of the matter is, even if we take Rav Shimon ben Menasya's opinion that lo si'al isha means isha ruya l'kaima, nevertheless, on a doraisa level at least, this woman who's a shnios la'erva is ruya. L'kaima, there's no iser. So l'chora, we should analyze the pasuk velosia l'isha from the perspective of the Torah itself. And according to these two tanoim, Shimon ben Menasya, Shimon ben Menasya, and Shimon HaTimni, when the Torah says velosia l'isha, it's describing the woman who's included in knas. If on a deraisa level chazile, she's reuyelo. Then there should be knas. Why is there no knas? And this is going to force the Gemara to reinterpret the word shnios, that it doesn't mean what it always means in Shas as an isur d'rabbanan, but rather it means a lower isur d'oraisa, which we'll get into in just a second. So I saw here in the Mefarshim that they're a little bit bothered by the language of the Shas. The Gemara's language is kevan d'midoraisa chazilei. Now, chazile is a language that is appropriate for Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Why? Because Rav Shimon ben Menasya interprets velosia l'isha as an isha haruyalo, really ruyala kaima. So that's called chazia, ruya. And midaraisa, she's ruyale. Does the Gemara therefore, in its language, imply that we're not going according to Shimon HaTimni? L'chora, according to Shimon HaTimni, the Gemara's language should have been different. The Gemara should have said, Kevan to Midaraisa Ispe Havaya. Not Ru'u L'Kaima, but Ispe Havaya. Which means that the Torah would certainly recognize the issues in the case of a man who's Mekadesh, a Shniel La'erva Midarabana.
I have to admit, I don't understand their problem. It says, Midaraita Chazi.
Right.
On a direct level, because Baruch had no problem with this.
Correct,
it's like they're separating the two words.
What does chazi mean? Chazi means it looks like, no?
No, it means ru'i.
I mean,
ru'uya, yeah, in this context. It means she's appropriate for him, meaning there's no isra on a deraisa level. But the Gemara should have pointed out here, especially if you take a look at the next piece of Gemara, the Gemara is going to interpret that this braisa reflects the sheet of Shimon HaTimni. Let's read a few lines weiter in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ela chayvi misas bezdin shnios, chayvi krisos. I'm sorry. Ela arayos chayvi misas bezdin, and shnios is chayvi krisos. Avol chayvi lavim yeshlem knas umani shimena timnihi. So the Gemara interprets this price, at least at this point, according to Shimon HaTimni. So the Gemara is very well aware of Shimon HaTimni, who holds that Velos Elisha means Isha Sheyesh Bahavaya. And the Gemara says that that's the difference between Chayvi Mises Bezdin and Chayvi Krisus on the one hand, which is called Lesbe Havaya, and therefore there's no Knas, and Chayvi Lavim on the other hand, which is Isbe Havaya, and therefore she gets Knas. So if the Gemara here is very keen and very aware of the Shita of Shimon HaTimni, and it all depends on whether Kedushin tokes him, then the Gemara should have raised the question in the language of Shimon HaTimni, or in a language that would also cover Shimon HaTimni, which would mean Midoraisa, Ru'uya, I'm sorry, Midoraisa, Ispe, Havaya. That's the question that they raise. I'm just pointing it out so you should keep it in mind.
So can you define Ishbe Havaya one more time?
Ishbe Havaya means Yesh Tfisas Kiddushin. In other words, if he violated the Isra and he married her, would the marriage be valid? Ishi
and
Ishi that's Shimon HaTimni.
And Shimon Manasseh says that it's...
It depends on Ru'uya L'Kaima or Ena Ru'uya L'Kaima. In other words, the Nafkamin is going to be a case... So, like Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol, if you recall,
right, so they,
where on the one hand there's an Iser, so it's, you know, he has to divorce her. I'm talking about a Kohen Gadol, right? And on the other hand, the marriage is valid, right? It's Ispe Havaya. So according to Rav Shimon Manasseh, in such a case, she doesn't get Knas. Why? Because she's not Ru'uya L'Kaima. According to Shimon HaTimni, she does get Knas because Ispe Havaya, the Kedushin Tofsin. The Gemara asks, why is Kedushin Tofsin? We're going according to Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara asks, because it's an Issa Shena Shavu Bakol. That was the sugya back on Daf Lamed.
So that's okay. So
that's a good Chazor. So in other words, now the Gemara is forced into position to say that Arayos and Shneos are two different categories, both of which are Doraisa. Arayos is a more Chomor Dika Iser, which would mean that it prevents and blocks the Tfisas Kedushin. Hence, there's no Knas. According to Shimon HaTimni, there's no Velosia L'Isha, meaning Ispe Havaya. And Shneos is referring to a lower level of Iser Erev Adoraisa, which is called Chayve Lavin, like, for example, Mamzer So Nesina. Here, Shimon HaTimni would say that she does collect Knas because there is Tfisas Kedushin. Ika D'Amri, the Gemara offers another possibility. And that is that Arayas refers to Chayve Mises Bezdin, and Chayve Krisus, Shneos refers to Chayve Lav, Mani Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. So now what the Gemara is doing is it's taking both Chiyuv Misa and Chiyuv Karis and putting it together in the word Arayos, which means that Shneos drops one level down to Chayve Lavim. And then what we're saying is that there is Knas. I'm sorry, there is no Knas in the case of Chayvi Lavim Mamzeres in the Sina. Umani, and who's the author of the Brice from Shimon ben Manasseh, he makes it depend upon Ru'uya L'Kaima. And since in the case of Chayvi Lavim, she's Eina Ru'uya L'Kaima, hence she doesn't get Malkus. I'm sorry, she doesn't pay Knas. Okay, then we move on to have discussion about Mimma Enes. And let's review just very quickly that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding Mimma Enes. So we're talking about Kiddushin Dirabbanan, and if they consummate the marriage after she leaves the status of a ketana, she enters into the status of a nara, then at that point she becomes an Eishes Ish, and she certainly needs a get. But if they haven't consummated the marriage yet, so she's already a nara, then is there miyun or is there no miyun? And that's going to be the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is going to say that once she becomes a nara, that's called havashtei saros, then she's out of the parasha of Mimma Enes, even though they haven't consummated the marriage. And that means that the way the Chachamim organized Ishus Derabbanan with a miyun is for a ketana, and exclusively for a ketana. Once she leaves the state of katnus, she has shtei saros, she's a nara, she's already 12 years old, at that point, paka, we terminate the possibility of niyud, and she would need a get. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says no. That even if she's a nara, up until a certain point, past her narus, she's already has shtei saros, he's going to validate niyud, even though she's a nara. Why? Because they haven't consummated the marriage. So those are the two interpretations of the Ma'enis. Now, who's telling us, who is the author of the statement in the Braisa, Mima'enes, Ein la lo knas v'lo pitu? Well, there are two ways of learning this Mima'enes. The Kumiyat Mima'enes is referring to a ketana, and this would reflect the sheet of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds that a ketana doesn't collect knas, only a nara collects knas, and Mima'enes equals ketana. Why does Mema'enis equal Ketano? Because Rabbi Meir's sheet is that once she gets Shtei Saras and she's an Ara, there's no possibility of Miyun. So by definition, Mema'enis is a Ketano. And why doesn't she collect Knas? Because this reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir that a Ketano does not collect Knas. The other way of interpreting this Braisa is that the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. Mema'enis is referring to a Nara. And when it says Ein la Knas, it means that because she's a Nara, she doesn't get Knas. Had she been a Ketana, perhaps she would collect Knas. Now, why doesn't she collect Knas in the case of a Ma'enes? So the assumption is that she's not a Besula. Why? Because within the context of this Kiddushei Derabbanon, they consummated the marriage on many occasions, and therefore she's certainly a Be'ula. So on the level of Ketana, I don't know if you can be medayik one way or the other about whether Ketana yesh lo knas or ein lo knas. You have no valid diuk here if you're assuming Ma'enis is a Nara, and the reason why she doesn't get knas is because she's a Be'ula. Could very well be that had she been a Ketana, she would not collect knas. So we could have here either way as far as whether Ketana collects knas. Then the Braisa goes on to speak about Eilanis. Eilanis is by definition a Ketana and Ein lo Knas. That certainly reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So we could theoretically have a Shita, and that's the author of this Braisa, that combines Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. In the Reisha, when we're talking about Mema'enes, we could be talking about a Nara, and that would reflect the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But in the Sefer, which we said an Eilanis is excluded from Knas, even though she's a Besula, that would reflect the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that a Ketana does not collect Knas. Fine. Now we have a Braisa that we studied yesterday, and that's what we want to review today so that we're ready for the new Gemara for today. And this Braisa, you'll see, there are two dots approximately, I'd say two-thirds down the Amud on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, or if you want to count up from the top, you'd probably count up about 15 lines. And the first word in the line is Eilanis, right after the two dots of Kasha. And the Braisa says the following: Eilanis, Eila, lo knas, velo pitui. So that would reflect the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that a Ketana does not collect knas. Ureminhi. But we're going to ask a stira from another Braisa, and that Braisa says that Eilanis yesh lahem knas. So the Gemara doesn't understand why this is a Ramini. This is not a Stira, because whether Eilanis collects Knas or not is a Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. The first price that says Eilanis does not collect Knas reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir that a Ketana doesn't get Knas. The second price that says that an Eilanis Yeshla Knas reflects the sheet of the Chachamim that a Ketana collects Knas. So the Gemara doesn't understand what was the Ramini over here. What was the Kasha, the Stira? Oh. So the answer is, we're not focused now on Eilanis. We can definitely simply reconcile the two contradictory braisas with regard to whether Eilanis collects Knas, meaning whether Ketana collects Knas or not. But we have another problem, and that's Chereshes Vishota. And here's where we have a real bona fide Viriminhi. The braisa that we're learning now says that Chereshes Vishota collects Knas, which means that they have the status of a besula, each one of them. Let's say a chareshes is a deaf mute, a shota is a woman who is socially immature, And in both these cases, there's no das. But nevertheless, we have no reason to assume up front that they are ba'ulos. We have every reason to assume that they are besulos. Hence, yeshlem knas. They're included in the parasha of besula for knas. And not only that, yeshlem tainis besulim. So B'li Nedar, in about 5 minutes, we'll talk a little bit more about tainis besulim and what that means. And now we have another braisa. And that's called, in the Gemara's language, mishum de islay lemirma achriti iluye. We have another braisa, and we want to ask a stira from another braisa. And what is this other braisa? So this braisa, you'll see, the first word in the line is hachireishis. You count up from the bottom of the omen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines. Hachireishis vehashotav habogeres umukas eitz einam tainis pesulin. This braisa assumes, apparently, that chireishis and shotav Abcheskas bu'ula, like the cases of Bogeres and Mukaseitz. And therefore, Eimlem Tainis Pesulin. So Tainis Pesulin means a man consummates his marriage after 12 months of Erisin, and he finds it to be a bu'ula. So he comes to Bezdin and he says, I don't want to pay the ksuba, I was fooled. I married Abcheskas bu'ula, and lo and behold, I wake up and I find out that she's a bu'ula. So is that a valid taina? So there's a stereo between two brises. The first brise says that Chereshis v'shota yeshlem tainis v'sul, meaning he has a very good case here and a good complaint. He married them under the assumption that they were b'cheskas v'sula, and lo and behold, he finds it to be a b'ula. The second brise says Chereshis v'shota ein lehem tainis v'sul, and he has no right to assume that she is a b'sula, because, you know what, maybe she became a b'ula and she's not even aware of what's going on. Okay. Now, yesterday I mentioned to you that the Achronim here have a very difficult question here on this sugya. The sugya seems to assume that the status of a Cheresh Veshota, as far as Ksuba is concerned, is a classic Ksuba. I mean, she gets a Ksuba, Becheskas Besula, and therefore, according to the first price, at least Yeshlem Tainis Besula. The second braisa is saying, well, you know what? He should have entertained the possibility that he would find it to be a ba'ula. But in any event, the assumption of the sugya from beginning to end seems to be that she gets a ksuba of a besula. But guess what? The Gemara Yevamos on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel says the following: Lo tiknu ksuba lecheresis v'shota. And the reason for that is because kidei Shalo yimnu'u lasesam, that people should not be inhibited and turned off to marry them. You know, these are girls who are not, you know, top notch on the shidduch market in terms of the fact that they're chereshis v'shota. So if that be the case, then the Rambam says, for example, in Perek Yud Aleph Milchus Ishus, the Rambam writes that Chereshis V'shota lo tiknu chachamim ksuba. The whole takot of ksuba was never established. That's how the Rambam codifies it. So what's this whole debate here, whether or not she has a tainis besulin, she doesn't have a tainis besulin? So just to read you from the Yalkut HaBiurim in the back, he says, Ein lefare shadina nemarkan hu b'mikre shahabal me'atzmo kosav ksuba lecheresis. Perhaps you could suggest that even though she doesn't get ksuba according to the Ikar Adin, he decided voluntarily to offer a ksuba. He says that's not possible. He says because the Gemara establishes on Daf Yud that the reason why a Baal is believed with a tainis besulin is because Chachamim instituted a takon of ksuba, and they believed the Baal that he could be mafsid ha the ksuba. But in a case where he was mischayev himself, voluntarily he took it upon himself to pay a ksuba, then he's not believed with a tainis besulin to be mafkia the chiyuv. So again, we're stuck with the following question: how could our Gemara analyze the status of chereshis ketana, chereshis v'shota, from the perspective of tainis ksuba, when there is no ksuba for a chereshis and a ketana? And a shota. So he quotes one of the Achronim who says the following: Dafka b'nesuei chereshes al yidei atzma lo tiknu laksuba. Aval kan medubash kshekibu ba'avia kedusha. The father can marry off his daughter who's a chereshes and a ketana. And in such a case there is ksuba. Alright, I just want you to be aware of the issue.
So in Bogeris, what's the
deal with Bogeris? That's going to be a sugya for today.
Okay.
And why is it that a Bogeris does not have tainis pesula? Then we're going to have a discussion here about suma, whether she has tainis pesula or she doesn't have tainis pesula. So we'll get back to that in just a minute. In any event, now we have a problem because of the theory between two brises about Chereshes and Shota. Do they have a tainis pesulin or not? And the Gemara is going to establish that depends on a machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, which is codified in the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis in Masechet Ksuvos in the first parak. And this is all going to come down to the sugya called taininon. You remember yesterday I asked you to write that word down, taininon?
Yeah.
In the cases of Chereshes and Shota, because they don't have das, they don't have the ability to put forth a claim on their own behalf in self-defense. So we have to sort of hire a lawyer on their behalf. And who's the lawyer? Bezdin. That's called Psach Picha Le'ilin. That if a person is mute, and had he been able to speak, he would have a claim in Bezdin, then we're going to put forward the claim on his behalf. Here too, Rav Gamliel says that in the cases of Chereshes and Shota, when the Baal comes running into Bezdin with a claim that he found it to be a Ba'ula, and therefore he wants to be Mafsid of the Ksuba, again we're not sure why she has a Ksuba, but let's say she has a Ksuba, so we have to step forward and put a Taina into her mouth, because she doesn't have the capacity to put forth a Taina. So we have to do that on her behalf. Now, what taina could she have if she had the ability to put forward a claim? If she would have been a pikachas, a regular, normal girl, her taina would have been, quote-unquote, misharastani nenasti, that during this last period of time, of 12 months, between the erusin and the suin, I was a victim of a rape situation. Now, in the case of a rape during the 12 months of erusin, again, leaving out the case of an Ashes Cohen, she is Muteres Labaila according to Rav Gamliel, and the Tainis Pesulin is not accepted. He cannot be Mafsid on the Ksuba because she's believed to say that these were circumstances beyond her control. And not only that, but at the time that he married her, which means Erisin, she was a Besula. So the Gemara says now that Chereshes and Shota, according to the first Brisa, according to the second Brisa, which says Ein Lehem Tainis Pesulin, that reflects the Shita Rav Gamliel, and we're going to apply the principle of Taininon, meaning that in the case of Chereshes V'Shota, according to Rav Gamliel, if she would have been a Pikachas, she could have put forward a claim Yishras Tani Nenasti. Now that she's a Shota, we're going to put forward that claim on her behalf, and hence she collects her Ksuba. Ein lahem tainis pesulin. The first price, on the other hand, which says yesh lahem tainis pesulin, and the Baal can be all up in arms when he finds it to be a ba'ula, and therefore he could be mafsid on the ksuba. That reflects the shita of Yeshua lo mi pia anu chayim. That in general, the chovas haraya, if there's a suffix, is muteles aleha, which the burden of proof is on her, because she wants to collect the ksuba. That's called abotzi mechavel of haraya. And we're not going to believe it to say misharas tani nenasti. She has to prove that. And in the absence of a proof, she's going to lose her ksuba, because why did he find to be a bula? Was it because she was misharas tani nenasti? Maybe she had this onus even before she married him, before the erusin. So therefore, Chereshes v'Shota, Ein Lehem Tainis Pesulin, because even had they been capable, I'm sorry, I keep making the same mistake and I apologize. Chereshes v'Shota, Yesh Lehem Tainis Pesulin, because even had they been capable of putting forth the Taina, we would not believe that Taina. That's called right. Rabbi Yeshua's Lomi Pia Anu Chai. Okay,
does he, Yeshua, believe anybody's Tainis Pesulin?
One more time?
With Rabbi Yeshua, a normal case of Ares, and he finds that she's, and he finds that she's, that she, that she's,
she's
not
a bula.
She's a bula.
So, what is, so if Yeshua says that we don't believe her, we don't believe, and she loses her ksuba.
In every case. Okay.
Right.
So he holds.
Because even if she's a bikachas, we don't believe her. Why? She has no proof that this bi'ila took place during the 12 months after Erisin. Maybe it took place before Erisin. So we're in a suffix situation. So and therefore, Havotzi Mechamela Rai. She wants to collect 200 zuz. She has the burden of proof is on her.
She was shita all the way through. Okay.
So that's the sugi of Taininon and fine. Now we want to discuss the case of Bogeris. If you recall, the second Brisa addresses the case of Bogeres, and we're talking about a girl who is 12 and a half years old, and the Brisa establishes that Ein Lahem Tainus Pesulin. Now, what does that mean, Ein Lahem Tainus Pesulin? In other words, if he finds it to be a Be'ula, he cannot claim, well, I was cheated. The fact that he claims that he didn't find a Besula, that doesn't prove anything in the case of Bogeris. Now, let's take Mukas Eitz. In the case of Mukas Eitz, that's understood. If she had this incident in which something caused her to lose her Besulin, she had a fall of some sort, and then he married her, so he marries her under the assumption that she's already a Be'ula. He can't come and claim, well, I found her to be, you know, to be a Be'ula, and I was duped into this, I was fooled, because he had to know this up front.
In other words, Be'ula there just simply means her hymen's broke. Doesn't mean she ever had relations.
Well, again, in the case of a man who comes to claim, well, I, you know, where was the dam, let's say? Again, we're going to talk about two different cases of Tainus Pesulin. Let me talk about the first case of Tainus Pesulin. The first case of Tainus Pesulin is, where's the dam? So the answer is, there's no dam, because she had this incident, and there's no membrane left. So where are you going to expect the dam?
But no, but we call her Be'ula, even though she never had relations.
Right, as far as Ksuba is concerned, she might be considered a Be'ula. Again, that's going to be a sugi in the first parak of Ksuba's. Mm-hmm. But certainly, as far as Tainus Pesulin is concerned, if he wants to claim, I didn't lomatsasi dam, I didn't find any blood on the sheets, that's not a claim at all in the case of Mukaseis, because he has to know that there's not going to be any dam. Okay, that's as far as Mukaseis. Now let's talk about Bogeris. Now, in order to understand Bogeris, we have to ask the following question. What is Tainus Pesulin? What exactly is he claiming? So there are two possibilities. One possibility is that there was no dam. The other possibility is Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, which means that I found the place to be open. It wasn't closed. It wasn't narrow, like it should be in the normal case of a Besula. So the Gemara now is going to analyze that bifurcation of what Tainus Besula means right now. First, the Gemara's Hava Mina here is that we're talking about Dam. He's coming to claim that he didn't find Dam, and therefore he was fooled. And therefore he wants out. He wants to be Mafsid of the Ksuba. So the Gemara is now going to prove, guess what? That a Bogeres has Dam. How do we see this? So we're looking at the last line on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. So get yourself excited. We're about to turn to Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. And the Gemara says the following: Vabogeres Ein La Tainus. I'm sorry. Did I skip something? No. Vabogeres Ein La Tainus Besulin. Is that really true? VeHaAmar Rav Bogeres Nosin La Laila Rishon. Okay. Now let's understand. If a woman sees dam, normally, I'm just talking in, you know, forget about marriage for a second, but any woman who sees dam, she has a din of what? A nidah. However, the exception to the rule, and this is a very rare exception, is a woman who sees dam following the first relationship that she had. So they consummated the relationship, and she sees dam. She's not a nidah. Why? Because we assume that that dam is dam besulit. So in a case of a besulit who gets married and she sees dam, then we assume that dam is not dam bin amokar, it's not dam nida, but rather it's dam besulit. Normally, in a case of a basula, let's say, for example, a nara, she's 12 years old, we wait 4 days, and we assume that she's going to bleed for 4 days because of the be'ila, and that's dam basula, and it's not dam nidus. However, in the case of bogeris, we only give her one night. In other words, for that night, we assume any dam that she sees is a result of basula, and it's not a result of dam min ha-makar.
Excuse me, is this halakha for your meimum? Because I think remember so. The first night you finish the act and then you kind of assume she's in Nida. It's been a while since it's been relevant.
Yeah, it's been a while too. So I'd have to see it inside.
Okay.
But before we get to that, here's the Iker question. Does a Bogeres have Besulin? Well, let me ask it in a different way. Does she have Dam Besulin? And what do you see clearly from this statement of Rav? Yes or no? Does she have Dam Besulin? What does it mean, Nosin La Laila Rishon? Nobody's with me.
No, yeah.
Where did I lose
it? Yeah. That's what we're saying.
I needed a robust answer here that yes, she does have Dam Besulin. Although she doesn't have the kamus, you know, she doesn't have the measure, you know, the great volume of dam, but certainly she has dam besulin. So why then does the Brisa say elo elam tinus besulin? What do you mean elam tinus besulin? He has a right to say the sheets are dry, there's not one drop of blood, and even though she's a bogeres, I certainly anticipated that there would be some dam, at least a minimum amount of dam. So the Gemara answers, now we can turn to the Aflam and Vavam and Beis. Either Kotayim, Tainis Domim. What does the Brisa mean when Tainis Pesulim doesn't mean a Tainis Domim? I didn't find Dam. Is Hochinami, then for sure he does have a Valentine, because even a Bogeres has Dam. But there's another category of Tainis Pesulim. Hochamai is Kinit to Kotayim, Tainis Pesach Pasua. His Taina is that he was expecting to have a narrow passageway, and lo and behold, he found it to be a broad passageway. That taina is not a valid taina with regard to a bogeris, because with age, even at this young age of 12 and a half, I'll read to you the Hebrew, Ein rachma tsar kifi shahoya bina arusa. Her rechem, meaning her vaginal area there, down below the womb, is not as narrow as it was when she was a nara. So with the passage of time, that area becomes broadened. So again, ask yourself the following question. Is there tainus besulin in the case of bogeris, or is there not? And it all depends. If you're talking about tainus domim, then he has a valid claim. Why didn't he find any dam? Even bogeris has dam, albeit minimal. If, on the other hand, his taina is pasuk pasuk, that is not a valid taina. Why? If he says that he didn't find any dam, he should have found dam. So he was obviously tricked. If, on the other hand, he says, well, guess what? I found her to be a pesach pasuach. Well, that's not a valid taina. Pesach pasuach matzasi is only a valid taina up until she becomes the age of a bogeres. From the age of bogeres, there's no such thing as a tainus pesach pasuach. Okay, that's as far as bogeres. Now we go back to the Brice on Daf Lamed Vav and Aleph, and we talk about Suma the Islandis. Okay, now again, in the case of Islandis, she's going to collect knas because she's a katana, and we're holding like the Chachamim. That a katana collects knas against Rabbi Meir. Fine, that's not a problem. And if you find another brisa that we saw earlier that Islandis doesn't get knas, that's Rabbi Meir. Because again, as we said over and over again, an Islandis goes straight from katanas to bagels. But what about Suma? It sounds like this brisa discovered America. I mean, it's a great chiddush that a Suma, a blind girl, gets. Is included in a tainus besulin. So a man marries a suma, a woman who's a suma, and lo and behold, he doesn't find besulin. And he wants to be mafsid of the ksuma. So the Brisa says, Enochinami, he can be mafsid of the ksuma. What's the big deal? What's the chiddush? Then life gets complicated because sumchis omer mishum rabbi meir. So we're now three lines down from the top on daflam and vavam and beis. That Suma ain't lahem tainas besulin. So we see that the status of a Summa vis-a-vis Tainis Pesulin is a real heavy issue. It's not just that the Braisa that we saw in Daf Lamed Vav and Aleph was Mechadish, that Summa has a Tainis Pesulin. But moreover, that's a Gevaldige Chiddush, because in fact Rabbi Meir denies it, and he holds that Summa does not have a Tainis Pesulin. So now the Gemara is really, really upset here. Why should a Summa not have a Tainis Pesulin? I mean, did she lose her Pesulin on the way? I mean, what happened to a Summa? She's a Nara. She should have Dam. My time of the Sulchus. So the Gemara asks, so what is the logic here that a Baal cannot claim Lo Matzasi Lebitcha Pesulin? He can't be Mafsid of the Ksuba in the case of a Summa. In other words, we have every reason to assume that she's a mukas eitz. Mukas eitz literally means a stick, but karka is just as good as a stick. It's some sort of an incident that took place that knocked out her basulin. And therefore, when a man marries a suma, according to the sheet of Rabbi Meir, we have to assume that she had this nechvetes al gabi karka situation, and therefore she lost her besulin. So don't come crying to Bezdin with a claim that I was misled. I anticipated a besula, and that's not what I got for my money. So Gemara says, I don't get it. What are you telling me? That nechvetes al gabi karka? Why don't you apply that to every single girl? Why not say kulo nami chibute mechavte? The Gemara is very naive here. The Gemara is saying we don't understand the difference between a Summa and any other girl, because if you're telling me there's Summa, we have to assume that she had this incident, which we don't know that she had it. Well, why don't you raise that possibility with regard to every single girl, and then the whole enterprise of Tainis Pesulin goes down the tubes. So the answer is Kulo Ros Umaros Le'iman. Any girl that would have this incident and she was nechvetes al gabi karka, she would see the dam if she lost her besulin, and she would show that to her mother. That's only true in a case of a girl, Baruch Hashem, she has the power of sight. But zo, this case of a suma, she'ena roa, she doesn't have the power of sight. She may have had this incident, and eino mara le'ima, she's not even aware of it. She didn't see any dam because she doesn't see, so therefore she never showed it to her mother. We don't know that she lost her besulin, and therefore, since the possibility exists that she lost her besulin, therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, she has no tainis besulin.
I have two questions about this. Number one, it doesn't even necessarily mean that there's more than 51% chance that she's mukat eitz. It's just that it's enough that the Baal can no longer give a claim. Is that correct?
Right. The percentage is significant enough that it's reasonable to doubt whether she's a Vesula. In another case of a girl, that reasonable doubt that maybe she was Nechvet Sagavikak is completely removed by the fact that we didn't hear anything. So if we assume she's a Vesula, we didn't hear anything to the contrary, then we assume she's a Vesula. But that's only because there's a proof by the absence, we didn't hear anything to the contrary. But if not for that proof, we really have to consider that many girls, you know, they play jump rope or they jump off, different climbing bars and they fall. And it's common enough so that he should not tell us that he was fooled.
That's good. Now, the other thing is, she won't see it, but she'll feel it.
Again, she may feel it, but she... But she's not going to come running to her mother because...
She may feel like it. She cut herself there. It's not a... There's no way to know. Like she's,
right.
She
no, she'll feel that she'll cut herself there too. But
you
perhaps,
won't be able to tell. You won't be able to tell me. She can't see for sure. That's the point. And she won't go running to her mother to tell her mother.
Yeah. I wouldn't belabor this point right now. We could talk about it on another occasion. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. The Braisa says the following. Hayotzeis mishum shemra. So this woman that we're talking about was married, and then she was divorced, and then she was raped or seduced. And elam lo knas velo pitu. There's no knas in the case of onus, there's no knas in the case of pitu, or mafata. Now wait a second. This is a woman who was divorced from her first husband because he claimed that he had a relationship with her, and he suspects that she was fooling around. But he had a relationship with her. And not only that, Yotzeis Mishum Shemra means that if we believe him, let's say, for example, two witnesses will come and substantiate his claim that she really had this illicit relationship, then Yotzeis Mishum Shemra means that not only does he divorce her, but as Gemara claims, Baskila he.
Yeah.
If the Eidim testified to support his claim and they saw the Maisa Znus, which took place between Erisin and Nisuin, then she is Chayev Eskila. So she's definitely a Ba'ula over here. So what's the whole discussion here? Ein Lem Knas. You know, you want to tell me the case of a woman who should be a Basula, but maybe she's not a Basula. She does get Knas, she doesn't get Knas, that's fine. But here we're obviously talking about a case where she's a Ba'ula. So you didn't have to tell me anything about the fact that she doesn't get Knas. Omer Rav Sheshes Hachikam. We have to reinterpret the Braisa. Mi sheyotza olea shem rabbi yaldusa ein lo lo knas velo pitur. We're not talking about a woman who was married and she was divorced because Adam testified that she had she violated the Eish HaSish relationship. No, we're talking about a girl who was never married. But there's a bad reputation about her. This is called a kol, kufav lamed, that goes to the effect that she had znus, that she was fooling around.
Excuse me for a second. The Gemara never actually brings up the objection that she's a bu'ula. Is that simply understood?
Mm. That's how I understood it.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me read. I can read the Masifta. He said, Misha Onas and Pita Isha Shev Baila Hotsia Vigirsha Mishum Shalom Matzala Basulin. Right. Eilam Mishum Knas. He said, Misha Baila Hevi Eidim Shazinsa Bein Erisim Levesun Arehi Mishayev Eskila Ubehechrech. Let me borrow a pencil. I'll just underline this. Ubehechrech Shehi Kfar Ba'ula. Is there for Pshita Sha'onis Mafati Shazu Lo Yishalim Esakna?
Wait a minute, I understand. She's being killed. How can she be raped?
No, she.
Well, I guess before she was raped, I'm sorry, before she was killed, she was raped. Or what the Gemara really means is Baskila means if we have enough evidence,
right? She
like for example, there was Hasra, then we'll put it to death.
Okay.
What does it mean, Bialdusa here?
Well, Bialdusa means that already as a young girl, the foul reputation went out that she had a Be'ila, that she had a Znus relationship.
So is that as a Katana? Or as a,
I mean, as a Katana, perhaps.
Bialdusa means she was a Nara. And I understand what the Bialdusa means.
Right. Bialdusa could mean even a Nara. I don't think it means Tafka Bekatnusa.
Okay,
so right, but it has to be before she's a Bogeris, because otherwise there's no discussion about Knas.
Right.
Right. So what do we say about this girl? Do we assume that she's a Ba'ula? So this price is Machadish, an unbelievable Chiddush, that a bad reputation is to be taken seriously. You know, you and I might say that, okay, Yotzaleh Kol, that's Zinsa. So what? We don't have to care about rumors. You know, all sorts of nasty people say nasty things about people. To what extent do we take very seriously this call? And the answer is we take it so seriously that we're going to completely undermine the whole parasha of Knas with regard to this woman. She's Becheskas Ba'ula. And why? Because Yotza Leshem Ra. So the Gemara is going to ask, if that be the case, supposing Ruvain produces in Bezdin a shtar, a document that's signed with two signatures against Levi, against Ruvain, against Shimon, that Shimon owes him 1,000. And there's a bad reputation or a bad rumor that's circulating about this shtar, that this shtar is a forgery. Are you saying that we're always going to accept the power of a call of a rumor? Amar Papa Shmami no Hai Shtar Rea Lo Magbinen Be. From this Gemara, that if a woman has a Shem Ra, that according to the rumor, she had this Nus relationship, she therefore cannot collect Knas. then we should derive the conclusion by analogy that if a person produces a shtar, rea means there's a bad reputation about this shtar, lo magbinatli. We're not going to use the shtar and validate it in order to collect the money that's written in the shtar. So the Gemara asks, hechi dam. Let's see, what is the case? Elam, if the case is the nofak kolole, the shtar dezaifahu. If it's nofak, nofak means went out, a kol, a voice, meaning a rumor, ale, regarding the shtar, that it's a shtar zaifa. Zaifa means a forgery, it's mezuyav. Dikavase, hocha, and Rav Papa is making an analogy to our case of Yotzis Mishum Shemra. Why? Did nofak ala kolo diznai, because she has a bad reputation that says that she has nus. Omar Rava, what about the statement of Rava? Yotza la shei mezana be'ir, ein choshishin la. That cannot be what's going on here in Rav Sheshes. When Rav Sheshes says that she loses her knas because of this bad reputation, he cannot be referring to a case of Yotzo Lashem Mezana Be'ir. Now, let's keep in mind that Rava was addressing Kohen. What do I mean? A Kohen is not allowed to marry a girl who had his nus relationship because of the possibility that the Boel, the person who had this relationship with her, was a posel. Let's say he was a goy, for example. We don't know. So on the tzad that maybe she had a relationship with a goy, and we have a principle that goes that if a girl is a mezana, she's not going to be too careful and picky about who her partner is going to be. You know, it has to be a kosher guy. Sure, she'll choose a mamzer, a nosin from the lower echelon, side of a guy, and that would pass along to kahuna. Now, what happens if we don't know that this girl has any znus, but she has a bad reputation? Does that mean that a kohen is not allowed to marry her? Says Rava, ain't choshesh in law. We don't build halachas based on reputations. We need clearly two witnesses. And in the absence of two witnesses, we're not going to assume that she had a znus relationship. So what's going on here? In other words, basically what the Gemara is doing now is, before we analyze Rav Papa is assuming a hekesh, like an analogy between shtar and knas of Yotzis Mishum Shemra. Let's go back to the original case and let's clarify it. And it would seem at first glance, that this analogy of a papa is a shtar that has the shem ziv, that it's a mezuyah, and therefore in the case of the isha of shemra, right, yotzol shem shemra b'yaldusa, it's a case where the shemra says that she had znus. Well, we don't believe the shemra that a woman had znus. If that were the case, if we'd rely on that shemra, we'd have to pasul a tikkuna, and Rava says that a kohen's allowed to marry her. Ella, says the Gemara, you know what the case of the brisa is? The Asu Beitrei, two witnesses come in to testify. The Amre, and they say the following: Lididhu Tvaatinu Tvaatanhi Beisura. That this girl, how should I say, made initiatives. What's the word I'm looking for? She
tried to seduce.
Tried to seduce them.
Advances.
What's the word?
Advances.
Advances. She made advances towards us. Again, I'm not sure if it means that on two different occasions, you know, she had one advance she made towards one of the two witnesses and the other towards the other, or maybe she offered herself for both of them. I don't know. You know, I don't know how far this goes. So if that be the case, then we're not talking about a rumor. You know, we're talking about hardcore facts. This woman was definitely advancing, you know, she was initiating a relationship. She was just looking for a happy partner, a lucky guy. You know, that's what she was looking for. She didn't find one of these two witnesses because they were kosher guys and they didn't want to have this relationship with her. But they can testify to the fact that she made these advances. Once she made these advances, we have every reason to assume that at some point in her life she probably was very successful and found an agreeing partner, if you follow what I mean. Oh. So now we can begin to understand Rav Papa. Why does Rav Papa want to pasul a shtar? The kavase hacha, the parallel case in Rav Papa's frame of reference in shtar, is the asu beitrei, two people walk into Beis Din to testify the amri that lidid who right? That this Reuven, who's the plaintiff in this case, Aralu, he made advances to us. Zaifili, please forge a shtar on my behalf. Obviously, they would get paid very handsomely. So, if the shtar would be to the tune of $10,000, they would probably pay the eidim $5,000. He still gets a profit of $5,000. They refused to do so. Now, once we see about the owner of the shtar that he was trying to forge this whole situation, and even though the eidim do not testify that this shtar is a forgery, but nevertheless, Kevon Shikache Idu, so should we be Choshesh that this shtar is a shtar mezuyav, meaning that these two Edom, the litigant, was not successful with these two Edom, but he was successful with another two people, each of whom attached a forgery of a signature. So the Gemara is upset. This is not a fair analogy. Bishlei Mahasam, we're in the case of Znus, Shchiche Prutzim. You know, she'll find, if she's running around, you know, making these advances, it's quite shchiach, meaning it's very common that she'll find prutzim. I mean, people who are willing to, satisfy, cooperate, excellent. You know, she'll find some cooperative partners here. If not these two Edom, she fell into the wrong crowd here, because these two Edom are tzaddikim, and they refused, but she'll definitely find somebody else. And therefore, we have to assume that she's a ba'ula. So again, you know, now we go back to our Mishnah, at the beginning of the Perek, which says that a basula collects kras, well, we have to add one proviso. She's never made any advances towards anyone for a sexual relationship, because if so, she has a cheskas pe'ula, and we're going to assume that she found a cooperative partner. Elahacha, but in the case of shtar, imhu huksak, you've already established a chazaka with regard to the litigant, meaning the plaintiff in this case, that he's looking to forge his shtar. But kol yisrael mihupsaka, are you going to assume that he's going to find partners who will cooperate in this? No. Klal Yisrael is mikam for Yisrael are all kedoshim and tahorim, and even though he's willing to pay for this, that he's not going to successfully find cooperative partners who are going to be willing to. To forge their signatures. Now, I just want to add one point. In the Masifta, I underline this, he says, Ein zayfanim shchichim. Now, what I think he means is the following, that maybe if you have the money to pay off, you'll find someone, but zayfanim are not easy to find. What do I mean? We're talking about a certain very unique talent to forge someone's signature. That's not a common talent. Now, I have a friend who passed away. He was a survivor of the Holocaust. He was in many different camps in the Holocaust. His name was Gruskai. He came from Hungary, and he saved many, many Jews, including the Bava Rebbe, during the war. Because Mr. Gruskat could ask you to put your signature on a piece of paper, and within seconds, he could duplicate your signature, and you yourself would not know the difference between the two. And he was able to get access to documents that were signed by Nazi officers, and to duplicate their signatures and create documents that were forged. And he saved Jews. But that's not shchiach. You know, to find such forgers is not such an easy task. Or maybe the Gemara means, again, this is not what it says here, but I would say that, you know, it's very hard to find Jews who would be willing to be bought for this. You know, to the Gemara in Ksuva seems to assume, according to Meir at least, that this is Yehar Gal Yavra. To sign a signature of a forgery on a shtar is mamish one of the cardinal sins. I mean, you have to understand why that's so. Mitvah Sheker Tircho, but I don't know if it's a cardinal sin. But Rav Meir has that sheet. So this is a very severe violation. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Hachinami, right? Now, again, we're going to try to understand Rav Papa, because at this point, Rav Papa is in deep trouble. Rav Papa is assuming that he can make an analogy between the two cases, that just like in the case of Znus, we assume that somehow she'll find a cooperative partner, and if she loses our Cheskas Pesula, so too this shtar is going to be possible, because we assume that this litigant who produces the shtar will find cooperative partners. So the more answers, why? Hachinami came under Kamahadra Asiyufa. Amar ziyufe zayfi v'kosav. The Gemara says you're right. Even though he approached these two witnesses who claim that they were approached and they refused, nevertheless, he himself will learn how to forge the signature. A person who's at stage one, looking around to try to find, you know, try to find those who will comply with his desire to pay him off to forge signatures. At the end of the day, he'll learn how to forge the signatures himself. And I think that the lumpness here is that every shtar needs what's called a bala shtar. Rav Soloveitchik used to give tons of shiurim on this concept. The bala shtar means the person who's holding on to the shtar. A shtar is not valid simply because we found it lying in the streets and it has signatures on it. A shtar is only valid because of the person who's holding on to the shtar. And he has a certain chazakah. But in this case, his chazakah is to find a way of forging a shtar. If he didn't succeed with these two eidim, he'll write the shtar himself. I'll read to you the translation. He says, "Hare anu donim shelo matzav mishi yizayef avuro." If he couldn't find anyone who would comply with his desire to forge, who atzmo yilmad lezayef? He'll take a quick course in forgery, and he'll forge the signatures to eidim and sign the signatures. And therefore, a proper thing, that it all depends on the gavra. If the gavra himself, in the case of a woman, she's a mezana, she's looking to find partners who will cooperate, then she loses her chazaka. So too, the gavra who's looking around to find two eidim to forge the shtar, I wouldn't believe his shtar. A shtar that comes from the hands of a person who's looking to be mezayef a shtar is not a reliable shtar. And this leads us to the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, which means that we can make a seam on the first Mishnah. Yeah. How many blad was that? About 7 blad. I don't know exactly how many. And the second Mishnah is going to tell us which girls do not have a knas. The first Mishnah enumerates all the girls that do get a knas, and now we have the Mishnah of the girls who do not collect it. Hey there, Rabbi Moshe Chodesh Tov. And next time we meet will be in Tavos.